Hi, hello everybody, this is Toby Milroy, operating officer for NAPMA, the National Association of Professional Martial Artists. And today we have a pretty important conversation about referral system in your martial arts school. And this is part of our Martial Arts Business 101 section. These systems and tools are designed specifically for building a rock solid foundation for your martial arts school to allow you to build, you know, as the in the Japanese, you know, philosophy is, you know, you can never build a castle on sand, right? It's very important to have a very solid foundation in our martial arts school for generating enough new students each and every month. And one of the systems and tools, or one of the strategies for that, is internal referral. And we're specifically focused today on schools with less than 100 students. So if you're at 30 or 40 or 50 students, you don't have a very deep base to generate a lot of referrals. But today we're going to talk about a few ways that you can do it very effectively, even with a small number of students. And that's especially important with schools that are, you know, 70, 60, 50, you know, 30 students, because in most cases you don't have a lot of extra cash flow to put into marketing activities, especially things like direct mail and you know, expensive marketing systems. So today we're going to talk specifically to you. If you're under 100 students, maybe less than 8 or 10,000 a month in revenue, and we're really trying to get this solid foundation built for the school to get you to that, you know, $10, $12, $15, $20,000 a month level, so that you can then take advantage of more of the tools and resources that NAPMA has to offer in our Maximum Impact and in our Peak Performer and in the Circle programs. So that's our focus for today. And joining me for today's conversation is our senior member representative, Bob Dunn. And Bob is every day working with our members on helping them systematize their business, helping them leverage marketing strategies and implement the tools and strategies that we're teaching to all of our members. So, Bob, thanks for taking the time today. And I think really what we need to do is, for today's purposes, I think we're going to have a very important overarching concept of how to execute some of these programs. But at the same time, we're going to drill into some of the biggest reasons why many referral programs, in fact, most marketing in general, doesn't work for a lot of martial arts schools. So I think we're going to solve those problems. So, Bob, if I had to ask you just quickly to get our conversation started today, obviously you're working with a lot of members, especially as they come in to the program as relatively new schools and relatively new organizations. What would you say some of the frustrations are that school operators have when it comes to referral systems, when it comes to kind of grassroots marketing? What are some of the frustrations that schools are dealing with if they're really having a hard time with these programs?
Yeah, thanks, Jeremy. Hello, everybody. Well, one of the biggest challenges is that most of the school owners, they know that they need to be doing this, but one of the biggest challenge that they have is that they become frustrated after they do it a few times, because they typically, number one, they don't really know how to do it to get the results that they're hoping to get. So one of their frustrations is that they spend a lot of time and they sit back and really plan on doing some type of event for a referral program, and then they share with their staff, and they set aside the time, they do the referral program, whatever it may be, let's say pizza party, birthday party, a buddy night, or maybe even a demo, but whatever the case may be, they go out, they spend all of this time and effort, and they put a lot of heart into it, and then they come back, and at the end of the week, they look back on the results that they actually got out of it, and it's a little disheartening for them. So they tend to, what will happen is a lot of times it'll kind of fall off their plate. They'll go try another activity and maybe get a couple of results out of that. And then they'll do another activity, maybe a couple of results. And then they'll just kind of loop back around and repeat some of the same things that produce very little for them. And over time, the school hasn't grown much, if any at all. And they just become really frustrated in that area.
Yeah, really, this is just the same as a martial arts student, right? We all have martial arts students. When they first start in our school, one of our primary concerns is that they they can see progress relatively quickly, right? We all know that earning the black belt is a long-term, ongoing, very difficult thing to accomplish. But it's important for students when you're trying something new or for business owners, and any of us, when we're trying something new, it's important for us to feel that we can be confident, feel that we can be successful doing this thing. And what happens, just as you described, Bob, I think you put a pretty good point on it. What happens in many, many, many cases is a martial arts school operator took over a location from their current instructor or perhaps one that wasn't doing all that well to begin with, and tries to execute these types of programs, perhaps without a full understanding of how to make them work very well. And they get poor results. Therefore, they become less motivated. Therefore, they take less action. Therefore, they get less results. And it's that downward spiral, the sort of that cycle. So what I really ask everybody to do who's on the call right now is, or who's listening to this recording, is just clear the calculator, right? Clear yourself of all preconceptions that you may have had about past results or at least the frustration created by them. And what I really want to do is drill down into the reasons why. Why so many of these types of programs don't work very well. Why, you know, one school will execute an ambassador program or something like that and get great results, and why another one will get very poor results. So we're really going to drill into some granular detail for everybody today. I hope it'll be useful. But let's start off at the beginning. So when it comes to referral systems, obviously this is one of the most low-cost, most effective and efficient way to generate new students. Because if we already have people who love us, if we already have people in our school who are, you know, converts, or, you know, raging thunder lizard evangelists of what we do, then the people that they're going to bring to us, the people that they're going to generate are, number one, referred people argue less, they behave better, they negotiate over price much less, they come to you really pre-sold, right? Because they've already kind of had conversations with this other person and, you know, they know how good you are or what they should expect. Now, that does bring up some challenges when it comes to tuition and what the rates might be now versus what they were for the other person, but that's not much of an issue. We'll walk through that if we need to. But the point of the matter is that people who are referred to you by other happy customers, by other happy students, are absolutely the best customers to have in your school. So we really want to be focused on that. And again, if I'm only at 30 or 40 students, then you can't expect that this is going to generate 100 new customers next month, right? It's very difficult to make that happen, although a few of the things that we're going to talk about today will help you do some pretty big enrollment numbers. But really what I want to have multiple referral mechanisms in my school starting now, so that each new student that comes into my program actually nets me maybe two or three or four students rather than just netting me one student. So there are a lot, I want to make sure that I have this foundation in place starting from the beginning. I don't want to defer that, right? I want to help leverage all this as quickly as humanly possible, especially if I'm dealing with, again, a school that has some cash constraints. If I'm not flush with cash, I need to try to generate as much traffic as I can with as low a budget as possible. So let's start here with referral mechanisms in general. Now, there are basically two ways to think about referrals. So they're kind of like two, I don't know, bases of referrals, right? You have reward-based referrals and non-reward-based referral systems. And in addition to that, I'll add special events and some things like that as we go through our conversation today. But the first thing I kind of want everybody just to kind of get a sense of is you kind of have these reward-based systems and these non-reward-based systems. And a reward-based system obviously is something where I go to my student base and I say, hey, you know, we're having such and such an event or such and such a contest or such and such an activity, and we'll walk through a bunch of these examples in a little while. And, you know, you're able to bring a friend to this thing, here's how it works, and by the way, if your friend enrolls or if your friend comes with you, you get X, Y, Z incentive, right? Sometimes it's they get, you know, 3 months of tuition. Sometimes they get a free, I don't know, weapon or something. You know, they get some kind of an incentive. And then when you're looking at incentives, there are two types of incentives. There are the kind of relevant incentives and the non-relevant incentives, right? So when you look at, you know, incentive-based or reward-based versus non-reward-based, What we found over a lot of testing is, and I would do both, so I'm not choosing one over another, but what we find is most referral mechanisms that work extremely well over time are based on relationship, not reward, right? Now, the reward doesn't hurt. The reward can help you. But most people are going to want to bring more people to you. They're going to want to bring their friends, not because there's a reward involved. The reward can help stimulate that incentive, right? They can help kind of stimulate their thinking. But really the reason they're doing it is because of the quality of the relationship you have with them, okay? So and the only reason I want to make the big point right now up front is there's an awful lot of noise out there and an awful lot of folks who kind of have this belief system that, oh, you know, all you have to do is have some kind of a contest where you give away an iPad or you give away a big, you know, flat screen TV or something like that, and people will bring, you know, tons of people over the period of weeks. When in reality, it's not true. What's really true is people will refer people and they'll participate in their activities in direct proportion to the quality of the relationship you have with them. So don't be looking for the magic widget to give them, you know? You know, don't be looking for the next, you know, when the new Xbox comes out or whatever the case is. Now, I'm not saying that that's not a great idea. It's not a great concept to use that as a stimulant for maximizing the effectiveness of that program. But it begins with a relationship, if that makes sense. So we're going to talk about some referral-based, some reward-based systems and some non-reward-based systems today. But just in general, I want you to be thinking about that as just an additional cherry on the top, just an additional incentive, and it will help maybe add a few percentage points to the effectiveness of the system that you're going to use. But what gets it to work in general is the quality of your relationship, right? How much the students like you, the types of results that the students are getting. Do they feel like they're getting 5, 10 times, 20 times what they're paying for? Or do they feel like they're paying an awful lot of tuition and really not getting much in return, right? And what we find is the quality of that referral relationship is dictated much more by the quality of the communication that you have with the family, especially in a family-related school. It's related much more to that, and the quality of the communication and the level of empathy that the teachers have for the students, it's related to that in much higher proportion than it is related to, you know, how high students can kick, or, you know, how fast they are, or how great they can spar, right? Most of it is about the quality, literally, of the human being to human being relationship. So I'll just give you a few things that you should really be thinking about. You must be communicating with your students when they're not in the school. You must have some kind of an email system or a newsletter system or something like that where parents and families and adults and everybody who's a customer, everybody who's a student or connected to that student, they're getting communication and content from you all the time, not just when they walk through the doors, right? Look, you know, trust me, you know, believe me when I say, if the only time you interact with that family is when they come into the school and you try to do a big referral push, well, you know, you're swimming upstream. You might get some, there's no question about it, but if this is a human being that you're communicating with on an ongoing basis, they're getting, you know, an email a couple of times a week from you. They're getting a newsletter every couple of weeks or whatever the case is, where you're communicating results back home. Hey, Johnny had a great class today. They're getting a good job note maybe once a month or once every few weeks or something like that, right? If they really feel they're connected to you in the school, all of your referral programs are going to work so much better, infinitely more effective than just because I gave away an iPad, right? So I just kind of wanted to set the stage with that. It's extremely important that you're leveraging your NAPMA membership, you're using the tools that we're giving you, you're sending them the words of the week every week, you're sending them the newsletter every month, you're doing those types of things. A lot of that content is just done for you, and you can just access it and get it out to your students. So I think just to set the stage, Bob, I think that's a great place to begin. What would you say for the people who are kind of coming into the organization who are under 100 students, less than 8,000 or 9,000 a month, how would you rank them or rate them when it comes to the quality of the communication and the relationship that they have, just in general? What would you say about that in general?
Oh, I would say scale from 1 to 10. I mean, I would put it maybe at a 2 at best. Most of them just don't have that type of system set up.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and oh, go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I mean, most of them aren't sending out a monthly newsletter to them and communicating that way. Typically, the emails, if they're doing any type of emails, it would be to prospective students, not to really any, there is no real strong relationship built with their current students, you know, in most situations.
So that's definitely something I just really want everybody to be focused on and be thinking about, right? This, you know, think about our public education system. I'm very involved in public education and in you know, Khan Academy. I do a lot of volunteer work and things like that. I'm really interested in the system and improving the system. I think it's really our, you know, we really have to do something about our system, public education system in this country. But why are parents frustrated with public education system? Primarily, it's because they never hear from the teacher unless there's a problem. You know, they never hear about how their child is doing in class today, or he did something that they were proud of, or any of that stuff. I mean, they just never do that. So I don't want to get off on this tangent for, you know, too much, but I'll just say, when it comes to referral programs, you have reward-based and non-reward-based referral systems. And the third category I'm going to mention is event-based, which is almost everything that we do. But at the same time, I really want you to be focused not so much on the widget, although we're going to talk a little bit about that. I really want you to be focused on the quality of the relationship. If you have a good relationship with the students, if you know grandma and you know grandpa and you know aunt and uncle and you know who brings them in and who picks them up, and you talk to them a little bit about non-related things every day, you know, you'll have much better results with these types of systems. So let's drill into the details a little bit more deeply. First is almost all of what you're going to see us talk about over the next three of weeks is the referral systems that seem to work, that tend to work the best for creating a lot of referrals quickly, are event-based. Now, today we're going to talk a little bit about a couple of ongoing one-on-one referral systems, but I also want to spend a lot of time on event-based referrals, because that really gets you kind of a big bang relatively quickly. So when it comes to event-based activities, we're talking about, you know, how can we execute a plan that gets multiple students to bring in multiple friends or multiple referrals all at the same time, right? So, you know, onesie twosie is fine. And again, we're going to talk a little bit about a few of those systems that we have tools for you as well. But right now, let's say I'm at 70 students or 50 students or 30 students, and really what I want to do is to get up over that 100 student mark, so I can move into the maximum impact program, or I can move to a higher level of my program, and I've built this solid foundation, and now I can you know, really step on the gas and accelerate my revenue. So if that's the case, then what I'm really looking for is, how can I generate, you know, 10 referrals next week, 10 enrollments next week that are all coming by way of referral, or maybe, you know, 15 or 20 this month that are just all coming from other students bringing in friends or bringing in, you know, associates or acquaintances. And a lot of what we're going to talk about today translates to the adult market, translates to the kids market equally well, translates to commercial MMA, you name it. So let's start at the beginning. Let's just give you kind of a few concepts and ideas, and then we'll drill down into some details. I guess let me say it this way. So if we're talking about an event-based referral system, that means we're going to have some kind of a special event in the school that people are incentivized to bring, or people are excited about bringing other people to, right? So that means we're going to have some kind of an activity. And I don't know what it is, but you know, let's say for example, like a buddy night, something like that. Okay, so the students have been in the school for a while. I've got, you know, 40 or 50 students in the school. I'm going to have a special event on Friday evening. Maybe it's like a parents' night out or something like that, or some kind of a buddy activity where students are allowed to bring a friend to class, and we're going to train together, right? So you've got things like a buddy night, or a movie night, or a parents' night out, or something we call like a ninja night, you know, same thing. They come in for maybe 2 or 3 or 4 hours, and, you know, we do games, and we do some martial arts and some things like that, you know, whatever the case may be. In different markets, perhaps the adult market, for example, it could be a special set of curriculum that they get to learn that night that normally you don't teach, right? So in the adult market, maybe it's a special knife defense seminar or a special home defense seminar. I've done that quite a few times. It works very well. Special weapons, perhaps, that kids and or adults don't typically get to use while they're going through the regular program. Glow chucks at night, or, a nunchuck seminar, or a board breaking seminar, or, different activities like that, you'll find carry different results. And you'll see that, how cool and exciting the thing is, it will be in direct proportion to the turnout, but also how aggressively and how thoroughly your staff markets the thing, right? Or you market the thing inside the school has a direct proportion of what kind of a turnout you get. You can have the most dull piece of curriculum in the world, but if you make it exciting in the classroom and you make it cool and you show them kind of what how cool it is in the classes and things like that, you'll be surprised at the results, right? You can get people pretty excited about it. So again, a group activity like this is kind of the first point of focus that we're going to focus on today. We'll talk about birthday parties and half birthdays and all this other stuff later. But for right now, let's talk about a one-time event. It's happening next Friday, and we want to put a bunch of people into it and have them bring their friends, right? The first consideration, and again, you can call it whatever you want, but we called it, buddy night or parents night out or movie night or ninja night or, glow chuck seminar, knife seminar, home defense seminar, whatever. Whatever you might think is exciting to your market, or what your students feel is really valuable, right? If you're in the adult, maybe you're in the adult MMA market and you have, a fighter come in or some high-level coach or something like that, or you're going to teach them, the Kimura trap, and you don't normally teach that to students, but it's something that they get to come in and learn on Friday evening, something like that. Now the second question is, how do we get that to turn into a referral activity? Well, some of them are just kind of referral activities by the nature of them, like a buddy night, right? It's a buddy night. The whole purpose is you come in with a friend, and you're going to learn some martial arts. Your friend gets to learn some martial arts that evening. A lot of what you want to do is figure out how it's in that student's best interest to bring somebody, right? So, for example, in a lot of the, weapon seminars, glow chuck seminars, stuff like that, ninja nights, whatever, in some cases, we'll market it as, it's $45 to come to the event, or $35 to come to the event, or $65 to come to the event, whatever it might be. But if you bring a buddy, it's free. Or maybe you bring a buddy and it's half price. You both get to come for the $35, or, whatever the case is. So you can use price leverage to incentivize that as well, which is a useful tool. But what's really the most useful is if that student wants to bring somebody in because of what you're doing. So, for example, a lot of what I have always thought is very effective, and I've done many, many, many times in the past, was make it some kind of a leadership experience where the current student, for example, I'll walk you through an example that I've used many, many, many times. In my schools, it was always the instructor had, long story, but each student in my schools, the instructor would tie on their very first white belt, right? So the instructor would come out, we would bring the student up in front of the class and make a really big deal out of each student earning their white belt for the first time, and the instructor would tie that on, the staff member would tie that on. And then we wouldn't tie any other belts on until they're in the black belt, right? So each progressive color belt, we would just hand it to the student and they would put it on themselves, right? So we made a really big deal out of that as a piece of culture, right? You can create that type of culture any way you choose. But so we make that such a big deal, and we tell the students about it all the time and things like that. Well, then what happens at these types of buddy nights, this type of leadership experience, we tell each of the students, okay, the ninja night, the buddy night is coming up, the leadership night is coming up on, Friday at 6 o'clock. We'll be here for 4 hours or 3 hours or whatever it is. Those who come, you'll be bringing a friend who doesn't know anything about martial arts, because you're going to be their instructor for the evening. And if the friend that you bring, if your student, does a good job, if they learn the four lessons that we're going to be teaching them, then you as their instructor get to tie that first white belt on their waist, right? So that's one of those pieces of culture that really get people excited about doing it. You know what I mean? It's kind of like You know, for our black belt examinations, I had 9 things that each black belt got to go through or could go through. And I had this big gong in my school, you know, this big, you know, 2 foot round big gong. And the only people who could ever hit the gong, the only time that gong ever rang inside the ring, inside the school, was when you earned your first degree black belt, your second degree black belt, your third degree black belt. And you got to ring it as many times as your degree was, right? So you know, it was always sitting up there in the corner, and no one could ever touch it, and you know what I mean? So you build these pieces of culture into what you're doing, or you have these pieces of culture in what you're already doing, and you make it sort of a special thing that now they get to do that thing, right? So they brought a friend in, they were the instructor for that friend that day, so they get to tie the belt on. Right? That's part of their incentive for doing that. Now, if you have 30 or 40 students, and you have a good relationship with them, and they all believe in that, right? If they all really thought it was an honor for you to tie their very first belt on, and you know, you were making the commitment to them as a student by tying that belt on that you were going to teach them what they, you know, that whole thing. If they really believe in that, if they really believe that at a deep level, they're going to be stoked to be able to do that for somebody else, right? They're going to be really excited to have somebody come in and for them to make that commitment to somebody else, right? So stuff like that is what I'm describing when I describe the quality of the relationship, right? Now, if I don't have a piece of culture like that, or if I don't have some type of, you know, sense of exclusivity or sense of coolness or whatever, then it's real hard to get that buddy night to happen. It's real hard to get people to bring those friends in, right? You're sort of relegated to just the utilitarian, you know, where it's just like a 4-hour babysitter, right? And I really like that. I want it to be something kind of elevated to a higher level. Bob, does that make sense? I know it's a little esoteric, but does that all make sense?
No, absolutely. I can see that going over real well with the students, even your current students. I mean, because now your current student feels a little bit of sense of mentorship. You know, he'll be a little bit more engaged to make sure that his buddy shows up and signs up for class so that they can continue their
Black belt. Exactly. And that's the type of thing that you're trying to leverage. It's not, again, it's not so much about the widget. You know, it's not so much that they get to enter a drawing for an iPad. I mean, all that's cool. All that's useful. I would do it. You know, I would do all that. But it's really about kind of this relationship, the quality of this relationship that you have with the student that really makes this stuff work very well. So let's kind of expand on that just a little bit. So again, that would be kind of like a one evening event. Maybe it's 2 or 3 or 4 hours, something like that. We used to do them on Friday night all the time, and still do, I mean, to this day. But, you know, Friday evening, maybe, you know, 7 o'clock to 10 o'clock or 7 o'clock to 9, or, well, you know, whatever, something like that. You can go a little later for the older kids, big deal. And, you know, I'm going to have posted next to this recording, you know, class planners for this type of an activity and things like that, resources for this as well. But just as a general overview, this is sort of like a one-time event that your objective is to get a lot of people to bring a lot of friends to you. Does that make sense? So I don't want to drill down too much into details yet. I will do, but I just kind of want you to get the generalized sense of that type of an activity. So the next type of an activity is, something like a birthday party, right? I'm sure, you know, lots of you have experimented with birthday parties. You've tried them, you know, whatever results you've gotten. A birthday party is obviously something that's very useful. We had expanded upon that and created something called the half birthday party. You know, right? So if you get good at executing birthday parties, they're great. The problem with them is they only happen once a year, right? So we created a promotion we called the half birthday party. And the half birthday party is 6 months, you know, after their birthday. So now you get to do 2 of them. And we would promote it by going out and buying birthday cards, and we cut it in half, right? And you mail them a half a birthday card, you know, and you invite them to the thing, and, you know, it's kind of a kitschy little promotion. So, you know, something you may want to consider, a birthday party, half birthday party, those types of things. And then I think a more extended version of this one-time event would be something kind of like, a contest, like a referral contest, where you have a gravitational prize, some kind of a grand prize, a bike or a Xbox or a plasma TV, or, you know, flat screen TV or something like that. Or we've done it with adults, with like a Harley Davidson or a car, you know, stuff like that. I mean, you know, you have to be within reason for your own organization, but, you know, something that they might want, something cool that, you know, that your market would want. And then you have kind of an ongoing referral activity where, let's say it's a month long or 2 months long, and that entire month, students are allowed and encouraged to bring a friend to class at any class, and each time they do, they get X number of tickets for the drawing, right? And you have the big, you know, the big contest going on all month long. What I've seen is a short event horizon, like a month, seems to work pretty well. You can typically work in buddies in a lot of classes in a month and not have it affect your testing requirements all that much. You know, there seems to be the longer they're drawn out, the more difficult it is to get people to remember it all the time, right? So I think a short event horizon is relatively useful on that. But so just again, as a matter of strategic scope, you have an event that's a one-time event for a few hours on Friday or Saturday, something like that. You have an event that's annualized to the student, right? You know, a birthday, half birthday, something like that. Sometimes we've also done their black belt graduation day, right? So, like, when a student starts, if we estimate the student will learn their black belt on October 12th, 2017 or 2018, then October 12th becomes their black date, black belt anniversary date. You know, so it just gives you another excuse, another reason to have kind of an annual event for that student. You know, things like that. And then again, so we have the one-time event on a given day thing. We have the annualized event for that student, birthday, half birthday, black belt anniversary date, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then we have more extended periods of time, like a buddy promotion, a referral promotion that lasts over the period of weeks or months or, you know, that type of thing. So if you look at it in those sort of categories, you can start being pretty creative about what types of events you can come up with, right? The anniversary of their white belt date, you know, things like that. There's all sorts of things that you can be kind of creative with. But let's kind of drill down now into what actually makes these things work pretty well, right? So your first challenge is, like we just described, sort of picking the theme. What is this thing going to be? What's the event going to be? Is it going to be a movie night, a ninja night, a buddy night, a referral contest for a month? What's it going to be? And then your second challenge is, how do we execute very well? How do we make sure that people are incentivized to bring people, that they actually do bring them, and then that we actually turn those people into actual enrollments, people who actually enroll in the school? So I'm going to walk through that next. Bob, any questions that came up through that part of the cycle, do you think? Is that all pretty clear so far? Or any things that you might have thought that we missed in that part of the piece?
No, I think at this point, I think everything's been pretty clear at this point as far as being able to, you know, make it a little bit more intriguing to your students and getting them a little bit more engaged. You know, definitely, you know, more importantly about what you mentioned, though, is making sure that this communication is constantly going to the parents, you know, when they're outside of the school. And trust me, I think that was a strong point as well, with communicating with the parents and giving them, you know, positive notes, because trust me, I mean, as a parent myself, yeah, I mean, the last thing I wanted to hear from was a teacher from my son, you know, from school, because it never would have been good.
and you know, good news.
Exactly. I mean, if I get communication from the, from Progress Energy, you know, my power company, or if I get communication from my cable company, or if I get typically, an adult, the communication that we do get usually is, you know, a little depressing.
It's when things aren't going as useful.
Absolutely. I mean, seeing something that's positive is fabulous.
It's so out of the ordinary. So let me backtrack just a little bit then. So what we have, again, so far is we've got reward-based, non-reward-based. Then we also have event-based, which we're kind of drilling into now. We have, as far as events go, we have a one-time event, you know, and then we have annualized events and things like that. There are a couple of other things I wanted to drill into, and then I want to drill into effectiveness, right? So let me finish my kind of list, I guess, of activities or processes, and then we'll drill down into how do we leverage it and make it actually work real well. There's another program that I would highly encourage everybody to be implementing. Again, we're going to drill down into each of these deeper as we, you know, throughout the series. And I'll have resources for you as well, you know, handouts and flyers and posters and this and that and the other thing that you can download from this area. But there's another program, something called the Ambassador Program, that I think is really important for everybody to be doing. The Ambassador Program is basically something that we do as an ongoing referral mechanism for our students in the school. You become an ambassador to the school. We give you these certificates. You can hand them out. If anybody enrolls, you get some kind of an incentive. You know, perhaps it's a discount on tuition. Perhaps it's a free, you know, weapon thing or, you know, piece of curriculum or seminar or whatever the case is. But an ambassador program typically is something that we kind of have just as an ongoing referral thing. One of the problems with ongoing, consistent referral programs is that you and your staff forget to talk about them a lot, right? So unless the students are always aware of it, it's not usually very effective, right? So I think the ongoing things take strategy. They take systemization. So two ways that I like to systematize my ambassador programs is, number one, I always talk about it during the enrollment of a student. So after the enrollment is finalized, the contract is done, membership is paid, you know, everything is done, I then tell them about the ambassador program. And I'll give you a couple of steps I use for that. I usually have business-to-business partnerships with many local merchants in my area. Things that are in many cases related to my market. So I'm in the family market mostly. So I have, you know, offers, you know, discounts at the pizza place and discounts at the ice cream place and discount at the kids' clothing place and discount at the Kumon Learning Center and Huntington Learning Center. You know, things like that. So all of my business partners, I have little coupons and things that they've given me as incentives, you know, for my people. So I put them in a big envelope. And one of the things that I do after enrolling each student is I give them the envelope, I walk them through it, I show them all the cool stuff that they get for just being a member. And then on top of that, I also give them my ambassador program package. And the ambassador program package is, you know, just a little letter describing that, you know, many of our students, most of our students come by way of referral. If there are, you know, families in your neighborhood, friends that you know, your best friend, your friend from across the street, people you may, if it's in the adult market, people you bowl with or on a pool league or a softball league or, you know, whatever people you work with at work, who might be able to benefit from this program, you know, just give them the certificate. Your name is attached to the certificate. When these certificates come back in, you get a special thing, right? So I systematize that ambassador program so that I remember to talk about it. And each new student, when they come in, they get that sort of piece of script. They get that interaction. A second way to systematize that ambassador program is perhaps you do it at graduation. So each bell graduation, you talk about the ambassador program. One of the pieces that we use to stimulate that is we encourage all of our graduates, everybody who's graduating from one rank to another, to bring a witness to the graduation ceremony. And then we involve the witnesses in some kind of an activity during the graduation ceremony. So that's another great piece of the ambassador program, I think, that works very well if you remember to focus on it, right? You've got to always remember, to remember it. You've got to remember to remember it, for lack of a better description. Then I would also say that, and you'll see this in one of the following audio conferences and programs that you'll walk through, when we talk about handling the info call and the second info call, the second intro and the first intro, one of the pieces of the script that we use for advanced owners, right? This might not be appropriate for you yet, depending on how comfortable you are at handling the inbound call, handling the info call script, or handling the first or second intro. One of the things that we do at the point of contact with a new prospective student is incentivize them to bring a friend to their first introductory appointment, right? So in our level three telephone call, level two and three info call scripts that you'll see, you know, here on the website, in the member site, our level two and three info call scripts both include asking them to bring a referral. And that rough script basically sounds something like this. Once they've already set the appointment, right, so we've walked them all the way through our introductory call script, and now we're into the appointment. We've already set the appointment. So let's say their appointment is Tuesday at 4. We basically say, okay, fantastic. So, you know, I've got your appointment set up Tuesday at 4. here's where we're located, here's how you'll find us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, by the way, if you don't mind me asking, who's Johnny's best friend? And they say, it's Billy from across the street. And you say, okay, fantastic, listen. You know, a lot of students, when they come in for their first lesson, they're a little bit intimidated and perhaps a little nervous. And what we find is that if they have someone to train with and someone to kind of work out with that they're comfortable with, that they have the ability to learn a little faster and they're a little bit more solid when they get here and they're not quite as nervous. So do you think Billy would have time available Tuesday at 4 as well? Right? And so we just sort of, we transition that info call at the end of that info call into a referral opportunity. Okay? So when you go through the level 2 and level 3 phone script, you'll see that, and you can, you know, institute that in your mechanism and your methodology as well. So that's another point of leverage for referrals. I think that's very useful. Okay? So now I'm going to go back to, one more item, and then we'll drill down into more detail. The final thing I think I'll mention, just as a mechanism that you should be working on, is kind of the contest wheel thing, the spin wheel deal. And we use the spin wheel for a lot of things in school. But one of the things that we do is we, as kind of a star of the day thing, each class we're looking for students who are executing well, who are doing what we ask them to do, who are putting in 110% effort, whatever the case is. And we may give them a little high five award or a little star or something like that. But one of the other things that we do is, you know, we'll call them up and they get to spin the wheel, you know? And I know it's kind of carnivalish, so you do have to be a little careful with that. My schools were very traditional, I was cautious about how often I did it and how I made it work. But, they would have that occasion. Maybe they did something extra special. They had the occasion to spin the wheel. And on the wheel, some of the things might have been something like, hey, you just won a free pizza party for you and 25 of your friends here at the school on a given Saturday or something like that. So that spin wheel thing is kind of a useful tool. Maybe it's not a wheel. Maybe it's, foam stars, suction cup ninja stars that you throw on a board. Or, it could be anything, right? I mean, something that they kind of want to do that incentivizes them, that gives them a reward to participate in a referral, type of an activity. So now let's drill down into effectiveness here. And this is part that I really want everybody to be focused on. You can create or make up or, fabricate or construct basically any referral activity in the world you want, right? And use whatever incentives you think are going to be useful for your market. Hold it at whatever time, whatever day that you think are going to be, useful. But what I want to do now, I want everybody to kind of really, stop and focus for a minute. Whatever activity you decide to do, whatever number of activities you decide to do, you should always have the ambassador program going. You should always have the birthday thing going. Always have the half birthday thing going. Always have the star of the day thing going. Those types of things. And then once a month at least, have some kind of a ninja night or some kind of a buddy night or something like that, right? Something cool that they can get excited about. But aside from all of that, what we really want to do is make sure it's all going to work well. It's going to be effective. It's going to actually turn these referral people into students. So this is really what I want to walk through on this. Is it's very important that we take a look at what works and what doesn't work, right? And Bob, you had described this earlier. Maybe you could walk everybody through it real quickly. A lot of the folks who are just kind of coming in the front end into NAPMA before they've really kind of gone through a lot of this business development part of their business, what would you say? How do most schools sort of execute when it comes to doing demonstrations or having people that actually come to the school as a referral prospect? What's your experience been for their level of sophistication when it comes to that? What are most school owners frustrated with when they do those special activities?
Well, they're most frustrated with the results. But as far as the events themselves, they put a lot of effort and in most cases a lot of planning in the preparation and in the event itself, whether it's a demonstration or if it's, let's say, a pizza party or, let's say, a birthday party or maybe even a movie night, to make it sure that they have, some great fun activities going on at all times. And they'll even put a lot of effort into, if the next time that they do it, they'll put a lot of effort into and in a lot of cases, blaming the results on the activity that they did. So they'll put a lot of effort in maybe doing more planning for the next time that they give another go around and put in, you know, better activities in place so that you know, everybody's having more fun, or let's say it's a demo, so that it's a little bit more exciting and a little bit more intriguing. And they typically will, and of course, in all cases, what they'll do at the end of whatever that is they'll hand out a bunch of flyers, and then they'll all go home, and then they'll come back to the school and hoping that, you know, everybody was so enthused about the activity that they did that they're going to now call in and want to sign up and join the school. But it doesn't happen, you know. And that's where they really seem to kind of, you know, eventually pound their head against the wall. Why is this not working? They just, and again, in many cases, they kind of blame themselves for, you know, why those students aren't wanting to enroll. So if that gives you a little bit of insight, you know, it is all about the results of what they, you know, what they see at the end of all of this activity. But they do put a lot of effort in making it a great fun and, you know, an explosive activity, even in the demos. But again, you know, with just handing out the flyers and hoping that they all call the next day, the results are always typically the same.
Yeah, that's well said. Let me rewind that, because that was really important. There are five levels of impact when it comes to a community outreach activity or referral activity. And what we find is that most schools only leverage one or two of these five levels of impact and the results suffer because of it. So let me recast exactly what you just said. So I have a buddy day. I work really hard to promote it for 2 or 3 weeks, which I think is the right number. I think 2 or 3 weeks is exactly the right number of weeks to promote something like that. And I execute well. So I get, let's say I have 45 students, and I end up with 20 buddies who come to class. How great is that, you know? And then they all come to class. I do a great class. I've planned out the class in great detail, so I know exactly what techniques we're going to do. I know what order we're going to do them in. I know the duration, the direction, the method. I have it all planned out so that they have an exciting time, they have a lot of fun, they're energized, and they learn something valuable. I execute the class well, they all march out the front door, never to be heard from again, right? That's the typical experience that school owners have, and that many, many, many school owners have. Now, what I want to do is help you fix all that. I'm going to assume you're already good at executing that class. All it is the first intro, right? And we'll walk through that in just a few moments. But now let's talk about those five levels of impact and fix it, right? So the five levels of impact, in reverse order of effectiveness, the least effective is showing up, right? And everybody gets that way. Everybody shows up, right? So if I'm going out to do a demo, or I'm out to do a carnival, or I'm doing a referral program, getting people to show up is the first thing I have to get done, and it's the thing that most people do relatively well. But it's also the least effective in the grand scheme of things. So just showing up or just getting them to show up is only one fifth of the battle, right? So number one is just showing up. Number two is showing up and distributing information or handing out information, flyers, ad cards, rack cards, postcards, whatever it might be. So, and most folks are okay with that too. You know, they usually bring flyers with them or whatever the case is, and they distribute them to all the kids, and they go home and half the flyers never make it home, half of them never make it out of their book bag, half the rest end up in the trash before anybody even looks at it, right? I'm still going to do it, but it's a very ineffective, you know, it's one of the least effective ways to do it. So number one is showing up, number two is distributing information, number three is collecting a lead. And here's where we start to leverage our effectiveness to a multiple, right? So if I have 25 students who come in for a referral event, and I do a great class and hand out information, maybe I get one or two phone calls. But now if I have 20, 25 kids who come in for a referral activity, I do a great class, I hand out information, plus I collect the data ahead of time, I get them all to fill out permission slips, and that's our mechanism to get that to happen relatively easily. I get them all to fill out permission slips. Now I can follow up with them, right? I can put them into an autoresponder. I can put them into I can call them, you know, things like that. So the third big thing is I need to collect the data. I need to get the lead ahead of time, right? The fourth is show up, distribute information, collect a lead, and then set an appointment. Set some kind of a concrete appointment for their introductory lesson, for next intro or whatever. So I'm going to focus on that during that activity as well. And then the fifth is to actually make a sale. Now, sometimes that's challenging to do in a buddy or referral event. Sometimes that's tough to do because you're dealing with a group of people all at once. It's hard to talk to people one-on-one. But we'll talk through that a little bit in a little bit later. That when you're looking at any other type of community activity, a booth at a festival or a demonstration or any of those types of activities, those are my five priorities. I show up, I hand out information, I collect a lead, I set an appointment, and then I try to make some kind of a small sale, some kind of maybe a trial or something like that. So this is exactly the way we want to be thinking about these referral activities as well. So my first activity, the first thing I want to be focused on is collect data ahead of time. So I'm going to tell all my students who are inviting their friends, hey, I need to make sure that your friends have these permission slips filled out ahead of time so that they can come into the class and the insurance company knows that they're okay, right? They're going to be covered, right? So either I send the permission slips home with them, or nowadays by email, I can drive them to a website where they sign up right online. You know, there's all sorts of things like that that I can do. But the mechanism is I want to get the data first. I want to get it ahead of time. Then what I want to do, and again, this is regardless of the type of activity that you're doing, this is how to leverage it. This is how to get it to work real well, right? So I want to collect the data first. Then I'm going to do some pre-event follow-up. And I don't want you to get too bogged down in technical stuff right now. Again, if you're under 100 students, under 8 or 9,000 a month, right now I just want you to collect the data and start calling them all ahead of time, right? Later on, as you move through our program, especially when you get into the maximum impact or the peak performer levels, I'll show you how to use an email sequential autoresponder where they'll get emails from you, text messages, voice broadcasts, and maybe even faxes from you. But I don't want you to get too bogged down in setting up all that technical information. If you do want to get into that, if you're closer to the 100 student mark or closer to the $8,000 or $10,000 a month mark, then call us at the office, call Bob Dunn at the office at 727-540-0500, extension 202, and you can book some time where we can talk one-on-one, and I can walk you through some of that. But I don't want you to get distracted with that if you're under, you know, 70 or 80 students. I just want you to get the data ahead of time. Maybe we send them one or two emails, just, you know, one at a time. But then I'm going to call them all. So my first step is to collect the data. My second step is to get them into some kind of a follow-up sequence. My third step is a pre-event call. So I'm going to call everybody ahead of time, 25 people. I call them, you know, 3 or 4 days before the activity is scheduled. And here's my rough script. The rough script is, hi, Mr. Jones, this is, you know, Toby Milroy from XYZ Karate. I see that your son Johnny is coming to our special Ninja Night on Friday at 6. I'm sure he's, you know, pretty excited about that. Has he been talking about that at all? And that's just how I start it, right? So then they start kind of talking about it a little bit. And then I give them some logistical details. And I want to, my outline right now is greeting, logistics, build value, transition into an info call. Okay? Bob, you might write that down so that I can include the notes with this recording. But so it's a greeting. I just did that already. It's logistics, build value, and then transition to an info call. So basically, I already delivered the greeting, and then they say, "Oh yeah, he's a little excited about it. He's coming with the, you know, Susie, and you know they love what you guys are doing over there." And I say, "Okay, fantastic. Well, I just wanted to confirm a few details with you. The party starts at 5 o'clock, and you're just going to want, you know, Johnny to wear something loose fitting so that he can, you know, exercise a little bit. You know, we're not going to do anything too crazy, but, you know, so he can run and, you know, play a little bit and not have to worry about, you know, being kind of, you know, bound up with anything. Here's where we're located. Now, by the way, is your son coming, are you bringing him, or is he coming with Mrs. Jones, you know, the student? And the reason I want to know that is because if she's coming down with him, I want to meet him. And I want to make sure I get a chance to talk to him and, you know, interact with him and things like that. If they're coming with the student, then I don't have that opportunity, but I'll show you in a minute how I can try to leverage that opportunity. So she says, okay, well, no, she's coming down with Mrs. Jones across the street. Okay, great. Well, that's no problem at all. Listen, so I just wanted to give you a quick outline on what we're going to be doing there. We're going to be doing some activities and some games, and, you know, we're going to do a little bit of light martial arts lesson as well. But really, we're working on something called the four laws of respect. And I'm sorry, the four laws of concentration. you know, many students Johnny's age, you know, really can benefit from a higher level of focus in the school classroom as well as at home. So we're all about character development in our martial arts academy. So we're going to be walking them through what we call the four laws of concentration. And he'll come home with a little homework assignment. And what I'd really like you to do, if you can help us reinforce this lesson, we're going to teach him those four laws of concentration at the school. And he's going to come home, and he'll be pretty excited about showing you, right? He's going to want to kind of demonstrate those four laws of concentration at home. So what I'd love you to do is just take that little homework assignment that we're going to send him with, stick that on the refrigerator at home, and when he demonstrates to you one of those four laws of concentration, is perhaps he's watching television and you're talking to them to him in the other room, if he kind of stops what he's doing and makes direct eye contact with you, that's one of the four laws. So what we'd like you to do is to go over to the refrigerator and make a big deal out of it and kind of initial off one of those boxes, and he'll be rewarded for that back here at the school when he fills up all 10 spaces. Okay? So you're going to be seeing that come home with him. And I just really kind of wanted to, you know, make sure that you knew what to do and you knew that that's kind of what we were focusing on. Now, you know, if you don't mind me asking, is that something that you kind of like to see Johnny accomplish in a program like this? You know, is improving his focus something that, you know, would be useful for you, or what would your thoughts be on that, right? So I'm trying to kind of build some value, right? I want Mr. Jones to know right off the get-go that this isn't just some other activity. This isn't just like going to baseball. This isn't just like going and kicking a soccer ball around the field, right? This is an educational institution. This is about character education. This is about focus and self-esteem. This isn't just, another activity, right? So now I've done my greeting. I've done my value build. Now I transition into, I've done logistics too. She already knows where we're located. And now I'm going to transition into my info call. So after she responds to me with whatever her response might be, I would say, okay, well, that's great. You know, now listen, several of the parents that I've been talking to earlier today have been asking me, how their child might continue in our program after this special event on Friday. Have you ever thought about doing something like this for Johnny? Now, regardless of her response, I just directly transition into my info call script, right? So, you know, great, I'd love to help you with that. You know, what specifically would you be looking to accomplish in a program like this, right? So that's just kind of like, that's the concept, right? So it's an outbound info call, for lack of a better description. And we're going to drill into this more deeply as we go through the program, and you'll see outlines and scripts and all, and dialogues and everything for all this stuff as well. But I just want you to get the idea, right? So I've collected data. I've done my pre-event follow-up, including my pre-event phone call. Now the event happens, and we're going to execute that event. Now, most of these events, the class should look just about like an intro. You know, they shouldn't be learning anything too aggressive. They should be just learning kind of basically what we teach them in an intro. But in addition to that, I want to accomplish a few things. One is I want to make sure that, obviously I get everybody signed in at the beginning, right? So I want to make sure I get all the permission slips if I haven't gotten them already. I want to make sure that everybody's kind of signed into the event so I know who's there, who isn't there, et cetera, et cetera. It also gives me a bottleneck at the door so that I can interact with the parents if I don't know them and, you know, get a chance to meet everybody. Then I execute the event. And during the event, again, you know, the class plan for all that is kind of up to you, and I'll show you some examples for all that stuff below. But basically, it's like an extended first intro. But in addition to all of that, I want to do a few things. Obviously, when they go home, I'm gonna send them a couple of flyers. Obviously, I'm gonna do that, right? I mean, it's not very effective, but I'm gonna do it anyway. But in addition to that, I want to do several things. Number one is I want to program them all for a follow-up, right? So during the class, maybe every 10 minutes or so, you know, so multiple times during the class, I want to invite them all to another special event. And usually it's just going to be, you know, the beginner class the next Monday or the beginner class in 2 days or whatever the case is. And I want to stop them and quiz them on it many, many, many times throughout the activity. So I want them to have kind of an incentive to want to be there. So what I might do is bring out one of my really cool black belt kids, you know, really, really talented with the nunchucks or something like that, and I would bring him out and have him do a little demonstration. And I would say, okay, now listen, who thinks they would like to do that? You know, who thinks they would like to learn how to do that like Johnny over here? and then you raise your hand, shake your hand. And then I would say, okay, great, well, listen, I've got a very special free class for everybody that's here. It's going to be Monday or it's going to be Tuesday at 4 o'clock and, or Tuesday at 5 o'clock, and this is what we're going to be teaching. And it's only for you guys, right? It's just for you guys that are here. We're going to take some time and kind of teach you how to do this. It's really kind of an advanced technique, but it's something that I really kind of wanted to be able to help you guys with. So, you know, it's coming up Tuesday at 5 o'clock. And then many, many, many times during the class, you're going to test them, you know? You're going to stop everybody and have everybody have a seat and say, now, what time was that special, you know, nunchuck class again? That's right, it was Tuesday. And what time was it? It's 5 o'clock. That's right. You know what I mean? They've got to quiz them a few times. You want to make sure that they actually know it, right? I'm not just going to trust that they remember it. I've got to really program it into their subconscious, right? So I want to make sure that they get that. Another box I want to tick is I want to make sure that I like to do the sticker on the shirt, right? So again, what I'm trying to accomplish right now is how do I get the message home, right? How do I get mom and dad who weren't able to make it to figure out and to see what we're doing here and see how valuable it was? So, and also to remember to come back, right? To remember to try to come in for an intro and maybe be a student one day. So what I like to do is print off like maybe 2x4 address labels. And I put like a cool like little karate picture on it, like a dragon or something, or you know, whatever. And then it'll have a little headline that says, you know, mom and dad asked me what I learned in karate class today. And then below that, there'll be a line and it'll say, dear parents, if your child correctly recites the four laws of concentration or efficiently demonstrates the four laws of concentration, they've won a free gift, call this number, right? And the number is the school, right? So basically all I'm doing with the sticker is, you know, they're going to earn that sticker on their shirt. I make them test for it, right? I make them come in and demonstrate the four laws of concentration or whatever the case may be. And then they get that sticker on their shirt. So now they're kind of proud of it rather than just kind of sticking it on them, right? So now they're proud of it. They want to go home and show mom and dad and all that sort of stuff. And now that just gives me one other mechanism that I'm sending home with them that has a higher likelihood of actually getting in front of mom and dad than just giving them a flyer, right? So now what have I done to expand what I used to do? Well, I've already talked to everybody because I pre-called them. I have everybody's mailing information, their email, their phone number, and everything in my database, so now I can follow up with them ad libitum. I'm now sending home a flyer, but I'm also sending home the sticker. I've programmed them with a special class that's coming up in a couple of days so that they can tell their mom and dad about that. Another activity that I like to do, another follow-up mechanism that I like to follow is a during the event phone call. So if I have enough staff members available, which sometimes I do, sometimes I don't, right? But if I have enough staff members available, I'll have somebody call all the parents who didn't show up during the event. And the rough script for that is, you know, hi, Mr. Jones, this is John from XYZ Karate. Now, don't worry, your son Billy is just fine. You know, in fact, I wanted to take a minute to call you because we were just doing some relay races and Billy's been doing just great out there. And actually one of his friends, you know, Susie, was practicing her kicks and kind of doing this relay race. And, you know, she tried to kick a little bit too high and she slipped and fell on the ground. And she's fine. You know, she fell on the mat and she's fine. But your son Johnny was the first one over to help her up and to help her get back into her line. And it was great. And that's exactly what we're looking for in our school. We're really proud of him. So, you know, you might want to remember to mention that to him when you see him later on. Do you think he might be able to do that? And then, of course, they're going to grow a little bit, right? They should be pretty proud at that point. And then you say, I've been talking to a lot of parents, and, you know, a lot of parents have been asking me how their child might continue in our program after the event. And, you know, Johnny, by what he demonstrated to us, he's exactly the right type of student for this type of a program. Have you ever thought about doing something like this for him? Right? So that just, again, leads you directly into just like an info call, right? So, again, my quick bullet point list, I've collected data. I've pre-called them. I also pre-did other stuff, mail, email, voice broadcast, text message, all that other stuff. I'm gonna call them pre-event. I already said that. Now, during the event, I'm going to hand out flyers, do the sticker, program them for a special event. I might do other things, too, like, you know, balloons with our information on it, you know, stuff like that. I mean, anything you can do to be creative about that. We've done the little jelly bracelets on the wrist, you know, that have the website or a special offer or whatever on the money. I mean, all sorts of things like that. Whatever you can do to help get that message home. And then I'm also going to do a during the event call. Another thing that I like to do a lot, and you can do this without a lot of technical problems, but I like to do a little, I like to take a little video of the instructor giving sort of the lesson of the day. So if the instructor is talking about the four laws of concentration, right, I like to videotape that, or the little iPhone or something, or cell phone or whatever, and put it up on YouTube, and then email or text message all of the participants a link to the video. Now, as you move through our program, when you get to the maximum impact level or the peak performer level, I'll show you how to build your own website, put the page up where you can upload that video directly onto the page, where when they view it, they can just fill out a form and register for classes right then and there, you know, those types of things. But don't be too concerned about any of that technical part right now. It's just a matter of connecting what you did in the classroom to the people who weren't there. Okay? So that's just another mechanism, I think, that's pretty useful. Now, obviously, during the event, there are two other things I wanted to mention. For the parents who did show up, if any of the guests did bring their parents, I have a staff member who's dedicated to, it's usually the same person who makes those outbound calls during the event. Their mission is to sit next to each one of the guest parents for 3 to 7 minutes and talk to them a little bit about the program, right? So they sit down next to Mr. Jones and they say, Mr. Jones, so you're Billy's dad, right? Oh, fantastic. Well, great to see you. What do you do? Oh, you're an attorney. Oh, that's interesting. What type of law do you, you know, whatever, right? It's a little conversation. And then the staff member basically just says, well, listen, Johnny looks like he's having a lot of fun out there. Have you ever thought about doing something like this for him? Right? That's it. You know, so that's your info call, right? Basically right there live on site. Two other items. One is as the event ends, usually you have like a pickup activity, right? A lot of people are coming to pick up their kids or whatever the case is. So I like to have myself be available out there to interact with parents and families who are coming in and going out, you know, that type of thing. I like to send them home with a little package. So all the guests are going to get a little package. Like I said, I'm going to send them home with a flyer, but I also might send them home with a little book of testimonials and some things like that. In the Maha Karate part of the organization, we send them home with our little infomercial DVD and our audio CD and that sort of stuff. But if you don't have a tool like that, it's fine. I just send them home with a little package of information. And then I like to interact with mom or dad or whoever's picking them up at the same time. So I'm giving them the package. I'm saying, hey, you know what, Johnny did a great job. Have you ever thought about doing something like this for him? You know, things like that. And then in addition to that, one other thing I wanted to mention was for the parents who weren't able to make it to the thing, one of the pieces of the script that I like to use in the confirmation call, you know, is that, hey, you know, are you able to make it down for the event, or is he coming with, you know, the other parent? And if they're not able to make it, say, okay, I totally understand that there's nothing wrong, there's no problem with that at all. However, do you think you might be available to come down at, you know, 9:15 or 9:30? And they say, well, what do you mean? And I say, well, see, at the end of each of our events, Johnny's going to be learning what we call the four laws of concentration. And if Johnny masters that, if he understands that by the end of our class, he's going to have the chance to test for his very first karate white belt. Or in your case, it might be a stripe or a sticker or a patch or whatever, you know, whatever it is that you want to do. He's going to have a chance to test for his very first martial arts accomplishment, his very first white belt. And for this particular event, what we like to do is have the parents come down and actually tie that first white belt on their waist. Now, again, this depends on how you have the event structured, right? It could be the leadership thing or not. It just kind of depends, right? So what I'm trying to do is create a reason that mom or dad might really want to come down and check this out, right? Maybe we've done this many times with longer events, 3 or 4 hour events, where the students are all going to do a demonstration at the end of the event. And we'd love for mom and dad to be able to come down and bring a camera and check out this little demonstration that we're going to be putting together, right? Or something like that. So some reason to incentivize them if they're not currently planning on coming down, because they're probably planning on, you know, doing something else, to give them some reasons why they might want to, right? So it's just another piece of leverage to help these things work real well rather than just doing the activity and not getting any results. So again, now they're sort of leaving, right? So we've done our during the event calls, we followed up with the people who are there, they've got the packages with them, they've got the sticker on the shirt, they know when the next class is, all that sort of stuff. Now I have post-event follow-up. So obviously now they're in my lead funnel, and as you go through our program, you'll understand what that means and how that works. But now they're going to be getting my drip communication. So I would immediately want to be following up with them on the telephone within 48 hours. You know, just a little follow-up. It was great to have Johnny in class. We're really excited to see, you know, to see him, you know, and then tell him a little story about Johnny personally, if you can, you know, remember one. We always try to make it a point to notice and jot down little stories about each student during these types of events so that we have something to really talk to the parents about. And then post-event follow-up. So we have post-event emails, voice broadcasts, text messages, direct mail, and personal phone calls. What is going to give you the highest results are the phone calls, actually talking to them, speaking to them, you know, kind of drilling down into what their thoughts are, what their needs are, what their wants are, those types of things. So, Bob, I know that was kind of a long way around, but regardless of the type of event that you're doing, if it's a referral or a buddy or some type of a referral event, whether it's in the adult market or the kids market, I approach it exactly the same. And those mechanisms, the collect data, pre-call, pre-follow-up sequence, during the event sequence, et cetera, it's the same sort of game plan, right? Regardless of the market it's in, regardless of the activity. Bob, does that make sense? Is there anything I missed? Is there anything that you would add to that? Or what are your general thoughts on that so far?
No, I think that is a load of information that will help everybody else, everybody that listens to this, to really help them increase their numbers, especially from the experience from where most of them are at currently, you know, what activities they're currently doing. I think it's fabulous. I don't have anything to add.
It's so frustrating. I mean, I've been there, trust me. You know, it's so frustrating to go and do, you know, to take so much time and energy to plan an activity, to execute well, and still have it be fruitless, right? Now, I'm not saying that you can't still goose egg, right? You know, occasionally these things just goose egg. That's how it is, right? I mean, it's the nature of the beast. But, you know, I kind of feel like I'm a, what is the word for a winery? What's the guy who owns a winery? What's that called? Gosh, I'm going to have to Google that. I'm going to have to Google that, but I just don't remember. But I feel like I'm that guy. I think this is how you should be thinking about this type of an event, this type of an activity, especially when it comes to referrals. But you want to be like the guy who owns the winery. And it's really dumb to only squeeze 10% of the juice out of each grape and throw 90% away, right? Instead, you want to squeeze every last drop of juice possible from the grape. And then you want to grind up the skins and use them for something else, right? Fertilizer or something. So you really want to, you know, Jay Abraham has a book, I think it's actually up on the member site for our Inner Circle members, actually. It's called Getting Everything You Can Out of Everything You've Got. And I think that's really what you want to be thinking about. Now, it's not about how do I squeeze every last dollar out of all of my students. I mean, that's not what we're talking about here. But you have this opportunity to leverage referrals. You can choose to do it sloppily and poorly, or you can choose to do it with high levels of efficiency and high levels of effectiveness. I challenge you to think about this for just a minute. You know, I had the honor and pleasure to have some great instructors when I was young, and I became a top-rated competitor in the U.S. And I remember, you know, I was winning all these tournaments, and I went to this big, you know, the trials in Chicago and everything, and we started with 5,000 competitors total, and I made the first two-day cut. So from all the way down to 5,000 to 100, I made all the cuts all the way up to 100. And what I realized at the time was kind of interesting, was that, you know, the difference between the top of the pile and the middle of the pile, you know, wasn't that people at the top of the pile knew 100 more techniques, right? It wasn't that they had more knowledge necessarily. It wasn't that they had more techniques. It's just that they were a little better at each one of them, right? It's that the timing was a little bit better. Their angle control, their distance control was a little bit better. Our cardio maybe was a little bit better, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, right? So it wasn't that, you know, that the top competitors knew 25% more techniques. It's that they were just a little better, each one of them. And this is exactly the same thing. The best martial artists are the ones who leverage every little detail, right? I mean, any one of us on this phone call, we could look at a side kick and we could say, okay, well, listen, you know, I want you to, you know, turn your toes another 10 degrees down. I want you to roll your hip a little bit over, you know, further a little bit over. I want you to, you know, your pivot foot, I want you to turn that about 5 more degrees, right? And each one of us know that. Each one of us look at techniques. We look at our art, our martial art, and we can, you know, extremely granularly drill down into detail to make it perfect, right? This is exactly the same way I want you to start looking at your marketing activity and your referral activity and your business, right? I want you to start drilling down into detail. If there's any little piece of leverage that we can get, we want to take it, right? We want to leverage that. This is about creating, this is about mastery. It's about mastering the martial arts business, not just being okay, you know? And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you think about it, the martial arts industry is populated with a lot of mediocrity. The top 20% of the schools in the industry control 80% of the revenue, 80% of the income. And the bottom 80% are fighting each other over the bottom over 20% of the income, 20% of the revenue. And the biggest difference between top 20%ers and bottom 80%ers, the biggest difference is attention to detail. Attention to the details of their business. Leveraging the systems and the actions in their business the same exact way they did it in their martial art, in their style, in their physical execution. Okay? So I want you to think like the winery owner guy, whatever the name of that is. I just cannot remember.
It's the Vintner.
Oh, what?
Yeah, exactly. Grapes, the maturity of the grapes, and then the preparation to make sure the quality is always maintained.
Exactly. That's it. Yeah, the Vintner, yeah. So that's exactly, you know, you want to be that guy. You want to, you know, your mission is now, if I'm going to do the work, which is executing in class, if I'm going to do the class, I might as well do a little bit more work and make it actually effective, rather than just do it and wonder why nobody enrolls, right? So anyway, I hope that all that's useful for everybody. I think, Bob, that we're pretty much out of time. But we're going to drill down into more detail on each of these systems, you know, the ambassador program, buddy nights, ninja nights, referral contests, birthday parties, half birthday parties, all those types of things. We'll drill down into each of those in more detail in future calls. But really what I want you to get your arms wrapped around is, regardless of the activity that I'm doing, it's all about these pre-follow-up, during follow-up, and post-follow-up steps. It's all about extracting the opportunity from the activity, regardless of what activity it is. Okay? So I hope that's useful, Bob. You know, thanks so much for your time as well. We do have to sign off. We're out of time for the day. But I'll have all the resources for this, you know, below this recording somewhere, so you can take a look at it and you can download the scripts and dialogues and things like that, and we can kind of go from there.
And again, please, if they have questions, Sylvia, if you might want to remind them. I'm sure. I thought they were going to get a teaspoon of information, but you've given them a dump truck of information. So I'm sure everybody listening is going to have, you know, questions or, you know, again, want to get hold of either you or I. And maybe to elaborate or pinpoint on it.
Yeah, it's a good point. And you, I would say two things. One is, if you find yourself stuck, it can happen, right? I mean, it's the natural part of the learning curve. This is important foundational. These are important foundational systems that you have to be really focused on building in your school. Now, we do work with some of our owners on a much more individualized basis. In our Peak Referral program, I'm working with school owners who are under $30,000 a month. I'm working with them on a one-on-one basis. We're on the phone regularly. They're fashioning their stats every week. We're doing statistical and business process analysis on an ongoing basis. That is an option if you're really serious about growing. It is, however, not to be able to retain that type of service, but that's the nature of the beast. I mean, you know, our objective is to give you a 10x return on your investment regardless. So, you know, that is an option. Another option is obviously we have live events that happen, you know, 3 or 4 times a year. If you do find yourself stuck and you want to schedule a time to do a one-on-one consultation, there are a couple of options. Stephen Oliver and I do block out a few times per month where you can call in and talk to Bob and schedule a time out and block out a, you know, 40 minutes or an hour of time. We can walk you through some of the stuff. There is a charge for that. The rates change seasonally. That's on the website. You can check that out. So just give Bob a call at the office at 727-540-0500, extension 202, and he can schedule that for you and get all that kind of worked out. If you have a small question about communication or something like that, in many cases, Bob can walk us through that and kind of figure out what might help you get past those obstacles in the future. But that would be your best. I know a lot of it. It's a lot of stuff here, so you can go back and replay this recording over and over again. I'm going to have the documents and support material down below this that I'm going to look at as well. So hopefully that will get everybody really on the fast track and get you qualified for and ready for the next step, maximum impact of the performers very quickly. So. I hope that's useful to everybody. Bob, thanks again for your time. We've got to ring off, and we'll talk to everybody soon.
Sounds good.